days of excruciating pain, and then the snake finally died. That's how tough this guy is. Mike, come on up.
Snakes ain't what they used to be. Well, I always like to take, when I get a chance to go first, to let the preaching be done by the later guys. And I'd like to talk to you about a little history that took place in Mexico. And I'm not talking about the missionaries who went down there, but about the change that took place in Mexico. 40 years ago when I was down there, it was a third world country. There was a hierarchy, the political, the wealthy, and there was the very poor. There was no middle class, there was no industry to speak of, there was no employment that would give you a consistent wage, a consistent paycheck. It wouldn't have been much, but still wasn't even consistent. And we went down, the roads were terrible, extremely bad. My dad went down one time and he said, "You guys need to get tires made out of Nerf." He had Nerf wheels, you could probably drive. There wasn't many cars. The ones that were there were junkers that just stuck across the border. And the bus system, the public transportation, the buses were beat up, old things, it rattled and kicked. And it was a really bad place for transportation. The big transportation was bicycles. You wanted to be careful. You go out in the morning, there was thousands of bicycles coming in from all the little ranches, bringing people in to work at the markets to try to scratch out a living. Economically, like I said, it was the very rich, very few, and all the rest very poor. They lived from day to day. There just wasn't anything to think about other than how am I going to feed myself today. It was hand to mouth. They were in a very desperate place, in my opinion. We had a time when it was constantly counseling young people that wanted to get married. Get a little room and get married and get a little room and move in by yourself so you can be your own family. God says a man should leave his father and mother and cling to his wife. And, of course, I always told Dale that it must have been misprint and should have been apostrophe S that I should leave my father and mother and cling to my wife's family, which I did. But they'd get married, or as in many cases, they would just have a common law marriage and move in across the hall from their parents, down the hall from their grandparents, and maybe great-grandma was still there. And it was just, there wasn't any future for them. And then there was no industry. But there is now. Starting with the free trade deal, which was free to them and wasn't to us. I was importing stuff at the time, and it almost doubled my importation fees when it became free. But it put Mexico on path to become one of the industrial giants of the world. They're on path to be the supplier for manufactured goods. China is putting in a complex outside of Monterey that would dwarf anything else that's there. And they're inviting companies in from all over the world. A country that didn't have automobiles, now you can get any automobile in Mexico that you want. They're building BMWs by the thousands and distributing them throughout Mexico. You can get a Ferrari, you can get... It's an entirely different place. When we preached down there before, the people were religious zealots. These missionaries can tell you stories when little old ladies came out with buckets of water to try to splash it on us and run us off.
One time a lady come out with a pretty good sized butcher knife and went after one of the preachers, and he took the word of God and defended himself and continued preaching as she was trying to stab him. You remember that? Oh, Reuben, he was very athletic, and he was fighting off the knife while he continued preaching the gospel. We've had the dog sick on us. Get out of here. I don't want you preaching against the virgin. I don't want you. We could preach against the priest. That wasn't so bad. They didn't mind that too bad. They knew they had a bad guy there. The priest would hire little kids to come and throw stones at us. They were zealots for their religion. Had guns pulled on us. The guy I was preaching with two times, they put a gun to his head. They were zealots. But all this has changed. All this has become the thing of the past. We go down to where we used to get thrown out of or hauled off by the police and preach in the middle of their biggest fiesta, their procession for the Virgin. They're there outside this cathedral where they're coming by every year, the 12th of December, to worship the Virgin. And we go down there to preach where we used to get literally beat up, thrown out, or arrested. We go down there and they ignore us. They're down there for the party. They're down there because there's three or four blocks that's selling cotton candy and I don't know what all. And little, they've lost the zeal for their own beliefs. I don't call it faith, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And so they have their beliefs, but they don't have the faith. And now they don't even care. They just ignore us. And any of these ones that have been preaching in the streets and have been confronted like I'm explaining, they prefer that than being ignored. And we've had some comments through the last few years. It's been dry. It's been in Poland, and I don't know how you're doing here in San Antonio, but in Job 15:21, it says, a dreadful sound is in his ears. In prosperity, the destroyer shall come upon them. As Mexico has gotten more prosperous, they have gotten less interested in anything else. When they were poor, trying to just feed themselves day to day, they were looking for answers. They were looking for something. And now they're not. They don't want nothing to do with you. We've spent several years out, the last several years, maybe 5-6 years, in the streets preaching, and there's nobody there. They've all got jobs now in these factories that are around. They don't get home till late at night, and the last thing they want to do is hear you shouting, they don't come out. We used to have them come out and at least listen, argue, let us know that they've heard us and don't like it and try to run us off, but now it's completed. It's just not there. Down in the plazas, preaching down in front of the main plaza where all the people come through, they don't even recognize you there. And I've been asking the Lord, where can we minister? What can we do to make this happen? And we had a sister just before COVID came in that started going down to the general hospital, Hospital Canada, and witnessing to people that are outside of the emergency room and waiting for news on the patient that was taken in for whatever reason it was. COVID hit, and of course, you know what, that happened, everything. Well, COVID kind of got over. Our state was the worst, had the most restrictions of any state in Mexico. They would stop us in the street, we were in our car, stop us at a checkpoint and make us put a mask on in our car. And of course, then they decided we could only drive our car every other day. And those days we didn't drive, we went down to the bus stop where everybody else was and climbed on the same bus it was, you know, they're just a stupidity. But they finally opened up, and this lady went back, and her husband went with her, who is now one of our elders. And he would preach, and she would talk to these people. So I went down there with them, and there is a... There's a hospital. There's four hospital systems, I think it is, in Mexico. And you rate them like a hotel with stars. Okay. The private hospital, which I've attended on a regular basis, is a five-star. It makes your hospitals look like a four-star. We got big private rooms, all of them. Got all the equipment, and of course I'm Michael Jackson, and so I get special treatment, and so I go back regularly. It just the food's terrible, but I ask Susan goes to the store and brings me tacos, which the nurses don't care for me doing that. But then you've got the military hospital, and that drops down to about a 2.5 star, maybe. And then from there you go to the Social Security, which is for the working class. The businesses are forced to provide medical care, and that's about a 1 star. And then the general hospital is for the poor people, the ones that don't have an employment. And that hasn't got a star yet. If you get admitted there, you have to have a family member on the outside 24/7, that if they need medicine, they come out and give you the order, and you go to a pharmacy and bring them the medicine. If they need surgical gloves, bandages, anything that we call in Mexico consumables, which would be your things that you would use and dispose of, they don't provide it. If you need some special equipment, your family member has to go rent it and bring it back. That's the kind of hospital this is. So these people are desperate. They are there because they don't have a job that gives them into Social Security, which would be a little better, and they certainly can't afford the private hospital. And like I said, they have to be there 24/7. And this hospital in Pachuca is the trauma center for the state of Hidalgo. They come, they bring people, the most severe cases is from Huautla, which is a 6-hour car ride. And those people have had serious brain damage. One guy had punctured lungs and then it got infected, another guy, and it's serious, serious deal. Several times now, while we're talking with the people outside, the family of the patient, the nurses come out while we're talking to this person and said, the patient is dying. As you know, I'm a very compassionate guy, but this is teaching me a whole new thing. We had a verse that was read about the compassion in Jude. Look at Jude 1:22, I guess it was. I got it written down here, but I can't find it where it's written. It says 22, Jude 22. And if some have compassion, making a difference. And others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, having even the garment spotted by the flesh. For 30-some years, I've been the fire preacher. Most of us were. Condemning them of idolatry, condemning them of their wicked lives. Hell's coming full speed for you, and almost like I'm going to shake you out of your complacency to see your need. And all of a sudden, these people need compassion, in my view. And they're hurting. So I started preaching to them. And my message has changed. I start out trying to explain what the true love of God is, which is John 3:16. For God so loved the world, He gave His Son. You think you're going to think the love of God is God has abandoned you. He no longer loves you because you have someone sick, because your family member is dying. But the true love is that He gave His Son to die for you. And that's where I go with the message, to try to show what the true love of God is for the eternal salvation. And while I'm preaching, and there'll be this many people. I don't know, Michael, did you get the video? We'll show you a video. This many people are there. What's in this auditorium? It's not talking about two or three. And as we're watching, as we're preaching to them, I'm watching who's listening, who's attentive. And I go up to them and I say, who's in the hospital? What's going on? And I show some compassion. I tell them, I ask them, may I pray with you? And I've had two people say, no, I don't want you to. And they all, yes, pray with me. So I pray for the person by name, I pray for the family, and then I go into the gospel. And it's an entirely different thing for us. We take down, to show more compassion, we take down a big thermos of coffee, we take down a table, and we take sweet bread, we take... Some nights we take little tacos, or we take coffee, tacos, what else have they been doing? Oh, they've taken tamales. We can buy the tamales already made. It's quite an operation to go down with enough tacos to feed this many people. Say what? Yeah. So while we've got several in the church that prepare and they're going down to distribute, and then we have preachers, two or three will preach before we start to pass out the food, and then during that time we go and we talk to the individuals. And did you get that working? Let's give it a try. And that's not part of it. Okay. All right. That's not it. They got the wrong one. What you doing stealing my show?